This is a story that we here on Melissa in the Morning have been following since the start of May, and basically have talked about in some capacity almost every single day on the show since we learned that residents at Success Village, a 924-unit complex between Bridgeport and Stratford, were not getting hot water. That issue was compounded with no heat reported as early as February, so during the winter months. And the no heat and no hot water has been an on-again, off-again issue just through the summer months and now even getting into the colder months that are ahead of us. And it's been an issue for years before we got to 2024. But the next chapter of the Success Village saga, which could be a huge chapter, is expected to continue tomorrow in court. Will a Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing get approval for Success Village? The city of Bridgeport and the town of Stratford, they're hoping the answer is no. Joining us for the conversation for the first time on WICC's Melissa in the Morning is Tom Gaudette. Tom is the chief administrative officer for the city of Bridgeport. And let's back up for a second, Tom. Welcome to the show. And start by talking about why did the city of Bridgeport and the town of Stratford even get involved in Success Village in the first place?
Sure. Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me on. I'd be happy to do that because I think it's really important to know why the city of Bridgeport and the town of Stratford has gone out of its way to do all of this. When I became chief administrative officer in March, we got a notice, which was handed to us from the state building officials, saying that the last of the five boilers on the campus needed to be shut down. And I immediately knew what that meant. I was told that that meant that all of the campus wasn't going to have hot water, which is something that we all take for granted on a day-to-day basis. And I reached out to our state officials, to the commissioner of BAS, along with our team in the city of Bridgeport and the town of Stratford, and practically begged them to keep the last boiler going. But what we learned is that the last boiler was bulging. We were told by the fire marshal that the gas line that was leading into the last boiler was like tinfoil. And honestly, people were not only afraid of failure, but that the thing could explode. And so the last boiler needed to be shut down. And that's when most of Bridgeport and the surrounding area kind of became really cognizant of what was going on the campus. And meeting after meeting after meeting that we had with the residents, we met with the board, we met with their attorney, we asked outside experts and people that had been on the campus, we learned a whole lot of things about Success Village. And a lot of it was very unpleasant, and a lot of it we heard in the court case. For example, they owe the city of Bridgeport over $2 million in taxes and almost $250,000 in taxes to Stratford. They owe over $1 million to the gas company and UI. They owe money to outside contractors. They owe money to the WPCA. And then we've learned of some other practices that they're engaging in because they have such difficult cash flow. For instance, when you close on a property, they're asking for HOA fees, for an entire year when you go to close. And then we heard during the trial, for instance, that there are union workers that are working on the campus who are paying their union dues, and Success Village is pocketing those dues, and yet their health insurance has been canceled. I can go on and on and on.
A lot of criminal activity, basically. I mean, I'm going to call it criminal, Tom. I don't know if you feel the same way, Tom Gaudette, but to me, it screams criminal, especially the way that these people are being treated. It's crazy.
Well, we are very concerned. And one of the things that came out in the court case, for instance, on day two, they called a few witnesses, the city did, including their so-called accountant. And by the way, they don't have a balance sheet for this place. And that's such a shame for such a large organization. But be that as it may, we do have some bank statements, and those bank statements are showing cash withdrawals from banks on Boston Avenue and other places, sometimes multiple cash withdrawals in one place. It really makes you wonder what's going on there. At this point, you know, if there is criminal behavior, that is being investigated by authorities, and I won't say anything more than that. Mm-hmm. My biggest concern is the residents, the people that we answer to, our constituents, who are literally – I have no other remedy because they have not held an election. There is no other way. And so we went into court and we asked for receivership because literally by the hundreds, they have written us letters. They have called us. They call our health department every single day. They've shown up at our council meetings. They want answers, and right. they don't know what else to do.
And they deserve.
So we have taken this extraordinary remedy.
Right. They deserve answers. And again, we have Tom Gaudette,
Absolutely.
Who is here, and he is the chief administrative officer for the city of Bridgeport. I'm glad you brought up the receivership. Tom, I don't mean to put this on the spot. I know you and I just met virtually here on WICC, but did you happen to hear my interview last week with Attorney Bradley, who's representing, he says, the board of Success Village? He says he's representing Success Village is how he says it. But I said on the air, and I know we agree to disagree. To me, he's representing the board president and anybody who supports the board president, who, again, as you just successfully said, is still in office, even though there was never an election to keep him in office or to eliminate him. But did you happen to hear my interview with him last week?
I did hear your interview in full, and I would love to respond to some of the points that were raised.
Can we start with the receivership?
I'll just say misinformation to say kindly.
I mean, let's start with the receivership, because Attorney Bradley said here on our show, allowing the city of Bridgeport, for example, to take control of this housing complex would be probably one of the dumbest things to have happen because of the track record of how Bridgeport has handled housing complexes, noting that there have been some that have had elevator issues that weren't addressed. There have been infestation issues, so on and so forth. Can you first explain, as I tried to explain, that a receivership does not mean the city of Bridgeport or that the town of Stratford would be in charge of the finances, correct?
You are exactly right, Melissa. So let's clarify what the receivership is and address some of his points. First of all, the issues that he's raising about elevators and buildings and some other, I don't even know what he was talking about, likely have to do with the Housing Authority, which, for those that don't know, is a completely separate entity altogether. It is not the city of Bridgeport or the town of Stratford. So I have no idea what he's talking about. Second of all, and he declared that the receivership was un-American, as though the people that are elected to represent the constituents of Bridgeport and Stratford had woken up and said, gee, we want to take over this property like we have nothing else to do. That's not what happened here. The people came to us. They came to us in large numbers.
I believe he compared you guys to a dictatorship.
They don't have hot water.
I believe he compared you to Russia.
Well, Russia and China, I think that a civics lesson is in order here, because he is saying that we're un-American. Well, let's talk about this. So the receivership statute, Connecticut General Statute 52-505, you can go look it up yourself, was passed by the General Assembly, the State General Assembly. They are both elected bodies, and it was signed into law by a governor who is democratically elected. That statute, under extraordinary cases like this one, gives a chief elected officer, like the democratically elected mayors of Bridgeport and Stratford, the ability to go to their city and town councils, both democratically elected bodies, and ask a court to step in to a co-op or condo where there are extreme circumstances like these. It is an extraordinary remedy, but these are extraordinary times.
Yeah.
And then a judge who is nominated by a governor and approved by the General Assembly, again, democratically elected bodies, sits over a trial. And in that trial, it's an open court case. The public can go watch it. And we have a beautiful adversarial system in the United States where both sides get to put on witnesses and evidence and argue their case in open court. And then that judge, only if the burden of proof has been met, will say that the receiver should be put in place. Okay, that's a beautiful, that is what we call due process of law. That is a beautiful American thing and put in place by a democratically elected legislature. So I don't want to hear the un-American stuff whatsoever. And now, who is the receiver and who do they report to?
We've got a few more minutes with Tom Gaudette, who is the chief administrative officer for the city of Bridgeport. We're talking about Success Village, and tomorrow it's going to be decided if a Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing will get approval. Now, we know, Tom, you, the city of Bridgeport, the town of Stratford, they'd rather a receivership. And really quick, before we talk about the importance of a Chapter 11 bankruptcy and what this would mean, I would love to just kind of recap. Who would be the receiver? If a receivership went through, we know it wouldn't be the city of Bridgeport or the town of Stratford, but who would oversee those finances?
Yeah, so the way that the statute works is it gives the judge the discretion. So if the city and town have met its burden of proof in court, which after 16 witnesses and a whole lot of very damning evidence, I think we most certainly have, then the judge would put in a receiver. And it's up to his discretion. Oftentimes, those will be property managers or lawyers who really understand the law in this area. It's a single individual that will basically take over control of the property and its management to make sure that, you know, everything is going right, that the money is going where it needs to go, the bills are being paid, that the fixes that need to be done are being done. So it would be Judge Radcliffe's discretion.
Okay.
And we hope that he does that.
It's a third party, essentially. And the reason I bring this up with you, Tom, and I know you understand this, I want to make it very clear for our listeners. I keep comparing what's happening with Success Village with what happened in West Haven. And the reason I say that is because, A, I don't think people realize that the city has absolutely no obligation to get involved with Success Village. It is a private entity. That is why there is a board that is supposed to manage the finances and all of that. But much like that situation at Success Village, West Haven, as many people remember, during COVID, hundreds of thousands of dollars in COVID relief funds were not handled properly. In fact, it was a state rep who mismanaged them. He, his wife, who are both doing sentences. His wife already finished. He is still behind bars right now for that. The state had to step in. To me, it's very comparative. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I look at, you know, the state doesn't have to step in to our town or city governments. That's why we have city and town governments. We have our own municipalities running them. But if we're going to misuse funding like we're seeing in Success Village, or we're not going to handle finances properly, a third party entity has to step in. I don't know if you agree with that comparison.
Well, look, I mean, the legislature passed this legislation for a reason. And look, I admit it is an extraordinary remedy. For all of those who may be concerned or critical about the steps that the city of Bridgeport and the town of Stratford has taken here, I get it. I don't want to be involved in this. I want Success Village to be successful. I want them to pay their bills. I want them to have heat and hot water. I don't want to run Success Village. Mayor Ganim doesn't want to run Success Village. Mayor Hoydick doesn't want to run Success Village. The town councils don't want to run Success Village. We have no interest. But the people have come to us in large numbers. The system there is not working. And we tried. We investigated this for months and months and months. Quite frankly, the biggest criticism I have about what we did is that we waited too long. These people have been up to no good for too long. They've been mismanaging the place for too long. And now we're up against the winter season, and they will not have heat. And now they've thrown this bankruptcy into the mix, which is only delaying the resolutions to the problems that the people there seek.
Exactly. And Tom, only because we're running out of time, if for whatever reason the bankruptcy does go through tomorrow, what is the next course of action? Because we're hearing that now, if they go through with this, that the residents are now going to have to pay more in their common charges. So they're getting punished more, essentially.
Well, look, I mean, we are challenging this bankruptcy action in court tomorrow, and I'll tell you why. Because the entire thing is in bad faith. They did an email vote at 4 a.m. two Fridays ago to get the votes for this. And we know that they didn't get the proper votes for this. And they were only doing it because there was a lot of damning evidence in court, and they knew how this thing was going. And they knew that bankruptcy was going to impose this thing called an automatic stay and essentially stop all creditors, including us, from being able to get the receiver in place. So this whole thing is a game. They think that it's cute. And they are either trying to hold on to power, or they are trying to hide something. Whatever it is not productive, right?
And then
they went on this theatrical tour. They went on your show. They went to the Connecticut Post. They went to News 12, and they said, oh, gee, we just realized after the trial that our finances are in bad shape and we need bankruptcy, as though an angel had come to them in the night and told them that. Give me a break. They know what they're doing. The judge said on the record, you can go to the record and see what he said. He said, this is trying to thwart what we are trying to do here in this trial. And I expect that we'll be back in front of Judge Radcliffe.
Tom Gaudet, I want to thank you so much, Chief Administrative Officer, for weighing in on the conversation. And we certainly will see what happens tomorrow in Bridgeport regarding Success Village.